Before we get to the interview, I'd like to tell you about a special offer to subscribe to the Business Observer, which covers essential business news on the West Coast of Florida, every day online and every Friday with a print edition. Unlock every Business Observer article on our website, along with our newspaper app, for only $1 a week. Sign up today and stay up to date on all the business news you need to be better at business. Go to businessobserverfl.com/subscribe. Hello and welcome to the Business Observer from the Corner Office podcast. I'm Mark Gordon, Managing Editor of the Business Observer. Today's guests are Kristen Lessig-Schennerlein and Hannah McGowan. We got two guests, Kristen and Hannah. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. Excited to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so I met you both recently, and I'd seen you both speak at a Sarasota Chamber of Commerce presentation, which I thought was really interesting. And Kristen, we're going to start with you. Your company is Koi Coaching and Consulting. Tell us a little bit about your career, Kristen, and what Koi Coaching and Consulting is all about.
Sure. Thank you. Great to be with you today, Mark. So my career basically started right out of college. I founded a nonprofit organization in Richmond, Virginia. So I kind of launched almost immediately into a leadership role. I'm proud to say that that organization is still thriving now, but it was probably at this point in time that I realized the importance of hidden potential in people. I worked with individuals with spinal cord injury, physical disabilities, did some work at the VA hospital in Richmond, Virginia, and served for about 15 years in nonprofit leadership in different organizations with that kind of focus. And then realized that my impact could be greater if I went beyond just the teams I was leading into this world of coaching and consulting. So that's kind of what brought me to found Koi Coaching and Consulting. And so I specialize in a few areas: mental fitness, positive intelligence, kind of strengths-based approaches, but just really believing in that transformative power of shifting from like negative to positive, from challenges to opportunities. And I think that's been my career journey as a therapist and entrepreneur and now as a coach.
That's so awesome. We're going to talk a little bit about applied positive psychology and kind of what your experience is there. And you're right, though, it's really interesting, right? You think about like there's a line I'm sure you know that my wife and I have used where you say you don't have to do this. You get to do this. Right. Because there's like a lot of challenging things that could come up in everybody's life, whether it's parenting or working. Excellent. And so, Hannah, and we're going to get in a second about you, how you guys connected. But Hannah, tell us about HM Coaching and your career. And I think you're relatively new to Sarasota.
I am relatively new to Sarasota. I'm one of those folks from New England that came down south pandemic time. So yeah. I apologize to the locals who are listening.
It's all good. You're fine. You're a local now. You're renting. You're going to Publix, right? So I mean, you're
exactly.
One of us.
Exactly. So I'm grateful to share the beach and the sunshine with you all. So yes, Hannah McGowan Coaching is a business that I started a few years ago now, and I essentially focus on helping folks build the skills that they need to work better with those that are around them. And what that looks like is both one-on-one coaching with individuals, I think primarily who are navigating career transitions and are just taking these really overwhelming, nebulous processes and giving people the clarity and the confidence that they need to move forward. So whether that's I'm trying to get promoted and I've been stuck in this one level and I need to move on, how do I do that? Or whether it's I've been in the field of federal government for 30 years and I have no idea what's outside of it, but it doesn't feel right for me anymore. What do I do? Or I was just laid off. What are my next steps? So I work with a lot of individuals in that capacity. I also work with businesses who are looking to better engage and retain their top talent and focus primarily on skill building workshops, executive retreats, culture building exercises to help support leaders in their organizations. But I think where that work has come from is I started in corporate talent development and learned a lot from a large healthcare consulting firm about the value of investing in your talent and really putting your money where your mouth is when it comes to training and development initiatives. I then got my license as a mental health counselor working in schools, and I partnered with a lot of young people and then up through their 20s and 30s in various nonprofits and school-based organizations to support them from a mental health capacity as a whole person. And so I've merged my corporate talent development and my mental health counseling together into the work that I do today.
Yeah, and right, and that keeping people engaged and retaining that talent is so important. It's stuff that comes up in the Business Observer a lot. Our audience is obviously invested in that kind of work and keeping your talent at your companies. And so Hannah and Kristen, sticking with you, Hannah, you met each other and we've spoken about this new initiative you have, and I'll get to your perspective on it in a second, Kristen. But Hannah, tell us about this new initiative that you and Kristen are, I don't know what the word is, unleashing, unveiling, introducing.
I like it. Sarasota's not ready. Not ready. but yes, as you can probably tell from what Kristen has shared and what I have shared, we are aligned in our approach to how we are thinking about leadership development. And as soon as we met, there was, you know, immediate energy and I think synergy and complement to each other in how we think about supporting folks. And so we have come together to form a business called Core Leadership. And we are taking on various projects and things already this spring together, you know, executive retreats and programmatic and curriculum building projects. But we are also unveiling or unleashing this flagship program for the community called Core Leadership, which is really focused on leadership development. Our vision is to equip every leader with self-agency and the tools that they need to unlock the best in those around them. And, you know, we say leader, that is really, if you are interacting with other human beings, you lead.
Yep.
And that is very much our approach to this work.
Yeah. And on that point, you know, Kristen, we talked about there's a gap, right? What is that gap that you see, whether it's in for-profit or nonprofit or any entity organization, of that leadership gap? You know, what is this organization you guys are starting, Core Leadership, solving? What's that gap?
Yeah, well, I want to touch back on one thing. So lots in common and synergy. We're both from the Northeast. So I only have a few hurricanes under my belt more than Hannah. That's all I can say that's different about us. So I've been here just a little bit longer, a few more hurricanes. But I think the leadership gap, as we're looking at it and through this program and our work together, is, you know, a bit starts with self-awareness. So, you know, we're hoping to really create this environment where individuals feel, you know, safe to express themselves, feel free, you know, safe to kind of foster that discovery of their own hidden potential. And I think the main gaps to the point of engagement, but the ability to manage through change, like the pace of change is so fast with our technological advances. Yeah. Advances, like, you know, we can't guide teams to adapt fast enough. And we tend to kind of resort to working longer, faster, harder, and zooming from one meeting to the next. And it's just, it's really unsustainable and ineffective for leaders to kind of lead through change in that way. So if we can help them, you know, shift into more strategic visioning and focus for more of the long term, kind of pacing for the long term, I feel like all of our organizations and our community and beyond will greatly impact. So, you know, for-profit, nonprofit, like you mentioned, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to remember, Kristen, in your presentation at a Chamber of Commerce event recently, I feel like you had an Albert Einstein quote. Do I remember that right?
That was Hannah's Albert Einstein quote. Yes.
Oh, Hannah, what was that quote? Tell us about that, because that was about change. I knew it was somebody. I was 50-50. What was that quote?
It was, and I don't want to butcher it word for word, but it was something along the lines of, I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, what Kristen's touching on when we think about gaps in leadership, you know, I have a lot of people coming to me saying, I just need people to do the things that I tell them to do. Like they are stressed. They are trying to do more. They are trying to work faster. Like, I just want to delegate. I want to be able to go on vacation. Like I want my team to work, right? Like they're coming to us with that need. And when we unpack that, it's all about how are you coaching others, right? Like the entire reason you have a team is because that mission or that objective or that task can't be accomplished by one person.
Right.
And so it's this shift from asking like, how can I get them to do what I want them to do, to how can we accomplish this? And like, what do you need from me as a leader to do your part in this? And that I think is where the curiosity comes in, is to be asking those questions of your team and leading with that to understand their perspective, their strengths, their needs, what it is that they can bring to the table to help you accomplish this mission.
To be able to get that and take a vacation. And, you know, Kristen, we talked in the beginning, applied positive psychology and some of those other teachings and sort of curriculums that you've learned in your career. How does that incorporate into what you do, and how does that incorporate into what you guys will be doing together?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, all of what Hannah was saying is employee engagement, right? And well-being. So there's this mindset of scarcity. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough resources. And positive psychology is all about the science and the study of well-being and kind of unlocking more of a mindset of abundance. And so if we can support leaders in making that shift, you know, no longer kind of neglecting that well-being is an integral part of their organizational strategy, that through infusing that into the culture, they create a positive work environment for individuals to really thrive. And so I went back to school because I found in coaching that, you know, I was kind of limited, so to speak, and where I could take people. And so I wanted this depth of knowledge to serve my clients and the community. And I really believe that that science of well-being kind of is key at this point in time.
And sticking with you, Kristen, a little bit on your career, what is some leadership advice that you've received that sticks out as memorable and something that you've used in your career?
Yeah, I love this question. And it's kind of a one that's going to maybe be hard for some people to understand, maybe not. So I had a mentor. I went through some coaching with him. He was a retired CEO of a major company in Virginia. And, you know, you were kind of gifted time with him. And I really took full advantage of that time. Like if he gave me a homework assignment, I did it. Like he handed me Good to Great and said, read it. I read it. And he was like surprised the next time I saw him. And one of the things that he said to me was, you get the board that you deserve. So as a young executive director, it's like, whoa. And it really, you know, was speaking to the importance of leaders really investing the time and attention to develop themselves, you know, to kind of have the ability to strategically vision and to manage up in that case. So as a nonprofit executive director, you have a responsibility to manage up too. And that can be really challenging when the board of directors is your boss.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You get the board you deserve. So that really puts some thought. That sticks with me. I could see how that resonated. And so you utilize that, it sounds like, in your career when you thought about, okay, board members and managing up that way.
And I think it comes, pretty much, you know, one of the things with core leadership that Hannah and I agree with is we're taking more of a coaching approach versus a consulting approach. We're not the experts coming in and telling you what is wrong with you or your organization. We're creating an environment for you to discover that for yourself. And so, you know, you get the board you deserve. You know, that's unique to every individual. I mean, the team you deserve, right? Are you investing in them? You want to you know, you feel challenged every day, maybe you need to look in the mirror. What's happening there?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, Hannah, the pressure's on you because that was a really excellent piece of leadership advice. What leadership advice, Hannah, sticks out to you that you've learned in your various career stops?
I got a piece of advice very early on in my career when I was still like in sales and the consulting side of things. And my manager at the time said to me, "Don't get so defensive." And so it wasn't this like profound moment where, you know, it belongs on like a plaque somewhere, but during a meeting, she said, "Don't get so defensive." And I found that in my meeting with her, I was coming to her trying to present the best case of what was going on.
Yeah.
And was taking her input and her feedback and her question asking very personally and very emotionally. And that moment taught me not to do those things, really. It gave me the insight of your team, your boss, the people around you are there to help you problem solve, are there to help you accomplish that goal. And it is not whether or not you are reaching that or on track for that or what have you is not a mark of how your value as a human being or how much work you're putting in or how important you are, how much of an asset you are. It is instead an opportunity for growth and improvement. And so I think that piece of feedback, and it necessarily wasn't even advice in the moment, but that piece of feedback, I think, has stuck with me over time to really see conflict and failure or lack of progress or not reaching the goals that you have in front of you in the way that you anticipated as an opportunity to do things differently and have a creative solution in place.
Yeah, but it's interesting too, because you have to step out of yourself, right? I think I got that I think it was the second newspaper job I ever had. It was in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And I'm pretty sure it was my managing editor, Don Roberts was his name. And he gave that feedback to me that I was defensive. And then I think I was defensive about being defensive because in my mind, I was defensive because I was right, not being defensive. Like I think when you're a young reporter, every word you write is like amazing and no editor can possibly understand how amazing it is. And you know, people change your stories and how dare you do that? And I don't remember how I got over that, but I do remember feeling defensive about being told I was defensive.
Yeah. And how, yes. Like then that is a perfect example, I think, of how we bring our full selves to work. And
yeah.
So for the folks who are rolling their eyes, as Chris and I are sharing about like well-being and right. emotions and what have you in the workplace, they come with us. We're not just, it's, I think Dr. Hull, who says we're not just a brain on a stick, right? Like we are wholly integrated people. And so if we can have a manager, and perhaps in your case, it was Don who helped you process that and figure out, okay, you're being defensive about being offensive. How do we move forward to accomplish what it is we're here at work for?
Yeah.
There's something so powerful about that partnership between manager and team member that I'm really excited about.
Sticking with you, Hannah, what in your career is a failure, a setback, an obstacle that really pushed you to move forward and overcome? What stands out in your mind?
It's very much aligned with what we were just discussing, but one of the first people I ever managed was on paper, quote unquote, someone who was lazy. She was showing up late to work. She wasn't working past 5 o'clock and quote unquote, going the extra mile. She was doing fine, but not excellent in her role. And I was getting a lot of feedback from surrounding managers and other team members that I needed to like lay down the hammer. I needed to set expectations with her. I needed to have a tough conversation about clarity and performance and what we needed from her.
I'm getting nervous just hearing this. I'm like, oh man, what's happening? Yeah.
So I did. And I was excited. I was like, I prepared for it. I, you know, read all the articles about how to deliver a direct and powerful, decisive message and like really owned that. And 2 minutes into the conversation, this team member of mine just starts crying. And had ultimately surfaced is that she, as a 22-year-old, was the primary caregiver for her father, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And this failure of making someone feel alone and unsafe, and that she wasn't seen for all that she was doing by a person who was interacting with her a lot.
Yeah.
It still sits with me, and it taught me a lot about that piece of curiosity that we talked about earlier, and how important it is to understand what is going on with your team and the people that you're partnering with before jumping to conclusions and prioritizing the results or the speed of getting something done, because it's not the best way to get there.
It's a huge life lesson, right? It's not, I'm not saying my wife and I are so amazing parents, but I think one thing we've done, I hope rightfully, with our son, Aaron, is you never know what somebody else is going through, right? We constantly preach that to him when things might not be going, not at the level you're talking about, but you don't, right? You don't know what is in that somebody else. And wow, that's pretty powerful. So now the pressure's on you, Kristen. Now you got to answer the same question. What in your career, in your life, has been some, obstacle, failure, setback that taught you something?
Yeah, it's interesting. I definitely learned from this. And I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't even see it as a failure anymore. At the time, it felt very much like a failure. So I was in a position, maybe in a little over my head when it comes to the politics and the community and kind of the environment. So for me in this leadership role, I really doubled down on all of my strengths and really worked to create focus internally on what I could control, and not control in a negative way, but like where I could build, right? Like where I could focus and affect change. And I think what I learned from that is experience is just as much as the individual has the agency, the environment really does matter. And so as an individual within an organization, if your leadership, your board, you know, the community at large isn't aligned and you're challenged with getting them aligned, it can negatively impact like how you're showing up as a leader, the decisions that you're making. And so for me, it really caused me to, you know, I eventually stepped away at a point in time where instead of like sticking around long enough to receive all the accolades for, you know, making a huge turnaround and, you know, shifting from being in the red to in the black, I decided to leave because it was what was best for my family and for me. And so it really showed me how like a work environment and a culture can affect people at a deeply personal level.
Yeah.
And so it just, again, it's really been an important factor for me to realize, you know, and sometimes we don't have all of the power to change and we do need to kind of work on that outside circle of those around us.
And there's one similarity too, right, between what you both said, is that sometimes it takes a while for these lessons to sort of formulate in your head, right? At whatever age or stage you were in your life, it didn't know it then. But thinking about it now, being reflective, is important too. And Kristen, sticking with you, one other question. Who are some mentors in your life? And maybe who is a mentor, but what is something you learned from one of your mentors?
You know, I was going back and forth between like professional mentor, but I already kind of mentioned one of my mentors and the kind of quote that he shared with me, or that little leadership lesson. I feel like my grandmother really instilled in me like service, and I feel like that's been a big part of who I am. So in many ways, I think she's been a mentor, just kind of service to the community. You know, having that be something that was a big part of our lives growing up. And so, yeah, I think that has stuck with me in my career, you know, being of service to others, helping others.
Yeah, awesome. Hannah, what about you? What's a mentor? Who is a mentor and what is something you've learned from him or her?
It's interesting that this question was asked to me by a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds at a girls' ink workshop that I did. And I don't know if I have formal mentors really in kind of that old school format. I think there's a model that somebody, a peer mentor, I will say, uses where she has essentially created for herself a personal advisory board. It's like a group of people from her personal life and her professional life that she has brought together who have different strengths, have different perspectives, different insights that help hold her accountable to the goals that she is setting for herself and provide insight where they are valuable. And so I think I have a very big informal group of an advisory board that I lean on for different things going on. I think on that note, a common theme is the power of authentic relationships and authentic connections. I think the idea of quote unquote networking feels quite transactional to folks. And if you instead shift that on its head and think about how can I build a relationship with this person in a meaningful way and try to offer, to Kristen's point, offer service, offer support instead of figure out what can I get from this other person. That has been something that has stuck with me. And I think, again, showing some gratitude for the Sarasota community. There are so many folks here, Mark, you included, who are so generous with their connections and generous with those relationships. And I think it's something that makes this city quite special on that front. And so grateful to the folks, Aaron McLeod, Susie Bowie, lots of people around who have been so thoughtful with their connections.
Awesome. Fantastic. And you just, Susie Bowie, she's on she was on a recent podcast, I should say. So been out yet, but yes, she was on a recent podcast. Okay, excellent. And before we get to some rapid fire questions, just tell us again, core leadership, what is that happening? Like, what can people expect from you? Is there anything people can go to now to do more sort of information seeking on core leadership? Either one can answer.
Okay. Hannah can jump in, but
you're both so disciplined. We said only one answer at a time and you're both so disciplined. I love it. And there was a pause. Okay. Kristen, go.
Yes, I'll go. Okay. So where we are in the process is we're super excited. We've identified some key members of a selection committee to help us identify the members of a first cohort. So we'll be getting some information out fairly soon, probably within the month of April. We're set to begin in September. It is a 10-month journey with us. And we don't want that to be intimidating because we are aiming to create an environment where people are excited to come each month and spend time with us. So looking to release that in April and then launch in September. Hannah, what would you like to add?
More, we will definitely share a link with Mark and perhaps it's posted, I don't know, in the description of the podcast, but we'll share a link so people can get some more information from a website and social media and all of that as well. So yeah, stay tuned for application processes and then launching this fall.
Well, I'm excited for core leadership. I think it's great what you all are doing. I think it's, you sort of can't even have enough of that because as you said, Hannah, earlier, at every company, everybody's a leader in some way and what the organization, any organization, nonprofit, for profit. So excellent. All right. Before we end the podcast, I have some rapid fire questions. We're changing them up a little bit because it's, you know, you got to keep them fresh. So here we go. Are you ready? Well, you don't really have any choice. You have to answer them. Hannah, we're going to start with you. What's your favorite thing? And then you get a new one, Kristen. Okay, Hannah, what's your favorite thing to eat for breakfast?
Ooh, I have been doing like veggie bowls, basically, where I've roasted a bunch of vegetables, sweet potatoes, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, whatever, and then made a really delicious zucchini squash. You literally can put a raw zucchini in a blender, cut up with a green onion, the juice of a lime, and some olive oil. And it is the most like refreshing, delicious thing to put over some vegetables, fried egg, and some crunchy chili sauce.
Awesome. Love it. We should have had to part at the beginning. Okay, maybe this will be another great answer. Well, not maybe, it will be. Kristen, what is your favorite thing to eat for dessert?
Oh, for dessert. Love me some good dark chocolate until recently. So I have started making these like little jello things out of black cherry juice with a little coconut cream. And it's like hits the spot. It's refreshing. Black cherries are really good for you at the end of the day. That's my little sweet treat every night.
Love it. We're getting leadership advice and nutrition. This is fantastic. You didn't know that. Okay, Kristen, sticking with you, what would you rather do, a beach vacation or a mountain vacation?
I would still do beach, even though I live on Longboat Key. I will still choose beach.
Excellent. Beach. Love it. Hannah, would you rather sail around the world, obviously in a sailboat, or drive around North America in a van?
Oh, sail around the world. The ocean calls my name no matter where I'm at.
Awesome.
Just on the water.
Yes. Okay, one last question. It's both for you to answer. Hannah, I'll stick with you. Do you believe in aliens and extraterrestrial forms of life?
100% I believe in aliens. They're out there.
Really? 100%, yeah. No doubt.
No doubt.
Kristen.
Yeah, I think to think that we're the only species it would be, or, you know, I think, yeah, for sure there are.
Yeah, I don't know this question because most people who answer that question say they believe it. I can't get there yet. I feel like I'm just not, I don't know. I'm too, maybe I'm too cynical. Maybe that's what it is. And I can't get there.
Maybe it is a hope factor. You asked a question about goals on our preparatory work, and I was thinking a lot about hope and how it plays into goals. So maybe that's what gets me to think about aliens.
Yes, aliens. Awesome. Hannah and Kristen, thank you so much for joining us on the From the Corner Office podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Business Observer From the Corner Office podcast. I'm your host, Mark Gordon. This podcast was produced by Reed Corley of The Corley Company in Sarasota. To hear other episodes or to learn more about The Business Observer, go to businessobserverfl.com.